everyone, and welcome back to Shattered Silence, Stories of Recovery and Resilience. My name is Jory, and today I am here with Keith Huff. Keith, thank you for being here today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So we actually went to high school together, and I didn't find out until, I guess, a little later that you and Kyle were actually friends for a while.
Yeah. Kyle and I, there was a time there for, man, I don't know the years, but there was a time where he and I and my cousin Ross and my brother Tyler, the four of us, and then another buddy, Bo. I mean, we were together every single day, you know, at Bo's house or our house or Ross's house. So yeah, spent a lot of time with Kyle.
Yeah.
Drifted apart in the later years, but yeah, he was one of my very, very good friends.
Yeah, so, that's awesome. Yeah. I know, because even when you had reached out to our podcast and willing to share your story, so thanks for that.
Absolutely.
But you know, it's a little bit more special that you also were like good friends with Kyle at some
absolutely
point too.
Yeah, yeah. I loved that guy. Every time I saw him out somewhere, you know, big hug and
yeah,
loved catching up.
Yeah, and I think it's also really cool to have kind of like a similar mission, you know, to like just spread awareness. And something we really haven't talked about a whole lot on the podcast is men's mental health.
Yep.
And so, you know, we've talked a little bit about it just in regards of Kyle and like military and stuff like that.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm glad that you're coming on to share your story.
Yeah. Happy to do so. It's you know, unfortunately there's a big stigma with mental health and, you know, even more specifically with men's mental health. So, happy to share a little bit today and, tell you my story.
Yeah. So I guess let's just start from the beginning. Whenever you started, having these feelings or anxiety and stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah. So for me, you know, I didn't really grow up dealing with it, you know, had a great childhood. You know, we moved around a lot. Like there was a lot of change in my childhood. I was, you know, bounced to go to my mom's one weekend, go to my dad's next weekend. So, you know, we were constantly kind of moving around. But the childhood was great. You know, I spent a lot of time hanging out with my, siblings and my cousins. I was always at their house. But I think for me, it kind of started later in the adult years when things started to calm down, right? Mm-hmm. So that's when it started for me, is when things kind of started to get super quiet. Mm-hmm. And what my therapist has told me in the past is the monkey brain, the monkey in your brain doesn't have anything to play around with anymore. And so it just starts looking for things.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that I was kind of a shy kid. They called me the worrywart of the family, kind of as a cute thing back then, right? Mm-hmm. But it was probably all there always. You know, later on, it started to manifest into, you know, clinical anxiety, which then turned into depression. So there was a time when my wife and I were engaged leading up to that, where it started to build a little bit, the feelings of anxiety. It wasn't until after we got married, that, it hit, and it was, you know, I can narrow it down to a single day. It was actually Easter Day, and I want to say it was 2018. We were at church with, my mother-in-law and, my grandmother-in-law. And I was just, I started to feel super, super anxious, like, you know, sweaty palms, feeling shaky, I just needed to move and get out of where I was. Right. And obviously I'm sitting in a church service.
Yeah.
So, I got up once and went to the restroom and kind of just collected myself. I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And then, you know, went back. And, it just, as soon as I sat back down, kind of in the middle of the row there, it started again. And so I had to get up again. And this time I just stayed out of the service, and I get bloody noses a lot. So I blamed it on a bloody nose.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I told my in-laws at the time. Mm-hmm. But that is kind of where it really started, because the fact that I had to get up and leave, scared the crap out of
me,
right? Like I was
like what the heck is going on?
What just happened?
Yeah.
You know? So, from there it kind of snowballed. It really started to get bad from that point. I saw a podcast actually with, Luke Combs, the country singer, and, His description of the anxiety that he deals with is like an exact description of what I deal with. And it's called obsessive intrusive thinking. So for me, that's how it comes about in my mind, is I think about something intrusive, you know, like some kind of intrusive thought that enters my mind, and then I obsess about it, and that thought snowballs into worse and worse thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, after that church service, the intrusive thinking started to manifest in a way like, that's going to happen again to you. It's going to happen to you at work. It's going to happen to you when you're hanging out with your friends, right? So, and then from there, you know, it just continues to snowball, right? And it's like, okay, well, I got a trip coming up with my buddies. You know, what if it happens while I'm at this trip? Mm-hmm. You know, or I got to get on a flight. What if it, what do I can't leave in an airplane, right? Mm-hmm. When I'm up in the air.
Yeah.
So, and then even worse and worse, right? So it's like, well, I'm losing my mind.
Yeah. You're starting to dread doing things, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it starts out as like, oh my gosh, what if it happens at this event? And then you're so anxious and you have all this anxiety that the thoughts start turning into things like, what if I'm losing my mind and have to be admitted to a mental institution?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, now you're like, going to the
crazy
extreme.
Things. Crazy things that you would never think that you'd have a worry about.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm not a crazy person. Yeah. I don't need to go to an institution, but your mind is telling you this and it's an obsessive thing that you believe, right? And it turns into even like, well, what if I get to a point where like I hurt myself or I hurt somebody else, you know? And that's when it kind of starts to turn into depression, because now I'm depressed that I'm dealing with this on an everyday level.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah, so that's kind of how it started and where it went.
Mm-hmm. And so from there, how did you, I guess, get up the courage to finally tell someone?
Yeah, I mean, there was months and months of, you know, dealing with it by myself because of this stigma that exists, where, you know, I was ashamed, you know, frankly. And
going more on the stigma too, it's like, everyone's always like, you know, oh, these guys have got to be tough. They can't have these emotions, you know?
And absolutely.
I feel like people think that all the time. And I feel like more so guys feel like that about themselves. Like, no, I can't say anything about it. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah. And that's exactly how it manifests in my mind, right? Is, man, I can't tell anybody about this. I'm a dude. I can't, I can't be having these feelings. But there, I mean, for a long time, you know, credit to my amazing wife, Jason, she, you know, for over a year, it was just her that knew about it. And, you know, after a few months and once I got into it becoming depression, I mean, I couldn't get out of bed some days. You know, I would just wake up in the morning and, you know, cry so hard that I would, you know, dry heave. It was at a point where, you know, it was something needed to be done. And like I said, credit to her, because she propped me up there for a long time, by herself, and with a lot of prayer. But you know, it did get to a point where, I joined a men's group, called Journey, and, I didn't know anybody in the men's group. So I didn't feel, my dad actually joined it with me. So he was the only one that knew, but before he joined it with me, I told these men about it, and I wasn't worried about anybody finding out because they didn't know any of the people I knew. Right.
Right.
But that kind of was the first step in me being a little more open about it. Mm-hmm. So I definitely credit that Journey group, because after I came out about it fully, that Journey group also, you know, the men in that group, really helped me, you know, get closer in my relationship with God, and which has been a game changer for me. But the day it all kind of flipped, was a really hard day. I was struggling. I was kind of, I mean, I looked awful. I hadn't probably showered in 2 days. I was, laying in bed and just, I was having a rough day, and it was to the point where I was telling my wife, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
at this point I had told my mom and dad about it. And so, they were two more people and my mother-in-law. So three more people that had known, but this particular day it was so bad that my wife could, she couldn't, you know, she had to call my dad and have my dad come over. And so he did, he came over and, he decided at that point that it was time to bring in my brother. I have a little brother who's 2 years younger than me. And he said, you know what, we can't do this anymore. Like we have to get your brother over here. And he lives a couple streets down. So they called him and he walks in the door, you know, not knowing what to expect. And I'm just bawling my eyes out and don't have a reason to give on why I'm bawling my eyes out. I just feel like crap. Right. Yeah. And so he asked me what's going on. And I kind of give him a long-winded summary of what had been going on over the past year. And, you know, he looked at me and said something that will, you know, stick with me for the rest of my life and probably was the thing that brought me out of it. And he looked at me and he said, you know, I think more of you now than I did before. And I thought a lot of you before.
Yeah.
So,
'cause it does take a lot of courage, especially like you had mentioned, like telling your men's group, you know, it's like people you don't really know. And so for whatever reason, I feel the same way. Sometimes it's a little more comfortable to tell people that don't really know you.
Yeah.
But then telling your close friends something so like personal that you're struggling with, you don't know the answers to.
Yeah.
I'm sure that is even harder, you know? So and I commend your brother for saying that to you too.
It was, I mean, for him to say that, because the intrusive thinking, right? Your mind is telling you if you tell somebody about this, they're going to call you a wuss, right? They're going to say, suck it up and deal with it. So I played out this conversation with my brother in my mind a million times. Mm-hmm. And the way it played out in my mind was me telling him and then him telling me, suck it up, deal with it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know better that my brother would never say that, but my mind didn't care. And it, you know, when it comes down to an obsession, you know, I believed my mind there for a long time. And so him
telling
saying
you the
that,
worst. Yeah.
So him saying that was, and he's my little brother too. So part of the stigma is that shame, right? Like I've always wanted to be somebody that he looks up to. You know, no matter where we were at growing up, like him and I were always together.
Yeah.
So he's been my best friend my whole life. So for him to say that to me, was a game changer. We called my cousin Ross over, who's also like a brother to me. You know, we grew up just together all the time. So, and he, you know, I think he even cried a little bit when I told him because he loved me so much to see me going through this, you know, it affected him and it impacted him. And, you know, he also responded with nothing but love. So, from there we decided, you know what, my brother said, we're going to call our buddy John, who's a little older in the group. We call him the Godfather.
Yeah.
just a character. But he's the guy you go to for advice when you need it, right? Mm-hmm. And so he was like, we're going to call John over. And so we did. He came over. And you have to understand with this group of friends, it's dairymen, it's mechanics, it's, you know, farmers. Like these guys are manly men, right? Uh-huh. Like these guys are tough dudes. Uh-huh. So, you know, in going back to the intrusive thinking and me playing out these people finding out my best friends, right? Like, and my mind still tells me that if I tell my friends about it, they're going to say, suck it up. They're going to say, get over it. You know, like we have problems too. Like it's not that big of a deal. You just need to move on.
Yep.
And my buddy, John, he told me that day, he said, I dare you to send a text, because we have this group text going, right, with 13 guys in it. I dare you to send a text out. And it's like, okay. So, you know, later that night, they leave, and I type out this long text kind of summarizing everything. And, I mean, immediately. Just ding, 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 you know, text messages coming through. And these texts are saying, I love you, you know, whatever you need. I had guys calling me I had a 45-minute conversation with one of these guys on the phone, and he's telling me things that he's going through that are similar to what I've gone through, right? And I would have never known.
You're like, oh my gosh, relief, I'm sure.
Oh, I mean, it was the weight that came off my shoulder that day was indescribable. Yeah. I mean, it's knowing that my friends knew about what I was going through, still loved me, were going to be there to support me from now on, knowing that some of these friends in this small little circle were dealing with similar things. Like, it's so comforting to know that you're not the only one going through something.
Right.
Because that's also part of the obsession, is your mind telling you, nobody else. I mean, you tell people this, they're going to think you're crazy.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to
like feeling like you're alone.
Yeah. They're going to be like, oh my gosh, that Keith's a wacko, right? Yeah. Like, you're, but there are other people going through like the same exact thing, and they're probably a lot closer to you than you think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
A couple of my buddies were like, dude, we knew something was going on.
Yeah.
Right. But most of them had no clue.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I would go to get togethers and barbecues and stuff and like pour out a beer. So, you know, I didn't want them to know I wasn't drinking, you know?
Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, why aren't you shotgunning this beer? Right. Yeah. So, you know, but a couple of them caught on, but yeah, that day, I love to write. So from that day I said, you know what, I've told my friends, I'm going to tell everybody. Mm-hmm. And so I started making it a mission to, come out about it and help people if I could. Mm-hmm. So I've been published a few times in the Californian, a couple of community magazines writing about my story. I've had people respond to those, reach out to me and say, you know, thanks for this. My son's going through this, or I'm going through this. Mm-hmm. So, and it's also let people know, like in my greater circle, like whether it be social media following or whatever, you know, that if I'm this open about it, like they know that I've had people reach out to me just via text or phone call, like, hey, I'm dealing with this. Can, you know, and we have a conversation.
Aspire Counseling Services provides caring, personalized support for adults and teens facing mental health challenges. From group therapy to mindfulness, art, and even pet therapy, their programs are designed to help people feel better and build healthier habits. Teens can get the support they need while still keeping up with school and home life. You can reach Aspire at 888-585-7373. I think that's awesome, too, because like I said in the beginning, it's like we have similar missions and just sharing our own stories and trying to help others not feel alone. Cause like you did, you know, you felt alone and
for a long time,
if someone like you had shared a story and maybe you come across it beforehand, maybe that would have pushed you a little earlier. I mean, mm-hmm. I think things happen maybe the way that they were supposed to. And, you know, you came out and told your friends whenever you felt like you really needed that help, and look at the weight that it lifted off your shoulders, you know?
Yeah.
And, but yeah, like just like with Kyle and everything too, it's, I want to share this message as well because he struggled too.
Yeah.
His was mostly from like military and then mm-hmm. getting out and just like trying to find that purpose in life again. But still, I mean, that happens with a lot of military members too. You know, they get out and they're like, now what, you know?
Yeah.
And then it just feels like they can't speak out on it and they don't know what to do. And I feel like if Kyle would have come across someone's story, or if we were able to get him into counseling or get him some sort of help, you know, maybe his life would have had a different outcome, you know? And so that's why we're here. I just want people to know that they're not alone.
Yeah. I mean, Teresa and I were talking, you know, before we started here today, and it's like people in the military, they're so structured, right? And they have all this that they're doing, and then they come out and they don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
It's like what I was talking about earlier, like the monkey in the mind doesn't have anything to play with anymore. And so it just starts looking around your life for stuff
right.
that it can play with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's for me, that's when it happened, is when things kind of, everybody was like, man, you know, it's what I was thinking is like, I'm becoming successful. I have this great wife. I have this great family. I have these great friends. Like, what could I possibly have to complain? Why am I dealing with this? Like, I have nothing to complain about. I have no like real stresses or worries. So why am I so stressed and worried?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I thought people would think, like, oh, you know, so-and-so is dealing with this and you're over here living this perfect life. But it doesn't matter what your status is in life or what you're going through. Like, it, mental health can impact anybody, whether you're a millionaire or whether you're struggling in life.
And I feel like that's such an important message too, that it's not like, oh, I'm depressed because I have X, Y, and Z going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it can just happen.
Yeah.
And you're not alone, because there's several people in the world that go through this too. And that's why we're spreading the message again.
Yeah.
I'll say it over and over again. That's
absolutely
why we're spreading it, you know?
Yeah. Looking outwardly, you would have never, I mean, even myself, I'm like, why am I stressed out?
Yeah.
Like,
things
are going great. You know?
Yeah. You're fighting your own mind. You're like, wait, things are good. Why is this popping up in my head? Why do I feel like this? You know?
Yeah.
But I guess after you came out to your friends and family and told everyone about what you're going through, what were your next steps? Did you go to counseling or see a doctor?
Yeah. Yeah. So, by that point I had already kind of started, seeking out professional help. But I really, at that point, you know, once I didn't have to hide it anymore, it was time to get to work, and try to figure out what I needed to do to live with this and be okay. Right. So, one of the things that, I would obsess about would be medication. I didn't want to take medication because, you know, you hear about all the side effects and the black box warnings and things like that. And so that scared me. And then my mind would obsess over becoming addicted or, you know, becoming reliant and whatnot. But I, at that time in my life, as I was at a point where, you know what, I needed some help. And so I did, you know, I finally found a medication that helped. I first went to a psychiatrist, and, you know, I'm not saying all psychiatrists are like this, but my experience was, I felt like I was dealing with like a glorified drug dealer. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, I talked to him for 5 minutes and he said, here, try this. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work. It made it worse, you know? And, and I'd go back and he'd say, okay, try this one. And it wasn't until I found, you know, a primary care doctor who kind of spent some time with me, listening to what I was going through, understanding that I was dealing with like obsessive intrusive thinking and not just run of the mill anxiety.
Right.
That, you know, I did find something that did work for me. So over the last few years, I've been able to really decrease dosages and stuff. And I would love at one point to, you know, I'm a little more holistic minded, so I would love at one point to be able to be off of them completely. But I still am to this day on very low dosages of medication. And it's important for people to know that it's okay if you need it.
Yeah.
You know, it's you break an arm or you
injure
or you're dealing with a heart issue or a stomach issue, like, you're going to go to the doctor, and sometimes you need procedures or medications. Mm-hmm. It's the same with the brain, right? Sometimes you need a little bit of help.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's also important for people to know that the medication, like, be an advocate for yourself too.
Yeah.
Like you
so
said,
important.
Your first medication was not good. Your second one, not great either. But it's like, I mean, it's not that you don't need it. You know, you have to kind of shop around almost to find what works for
you. It's unfortunate because these medications are touchy, right?
Like
there are a lot of side effects and things that come along with these. So, but it is, I mean, that's the most important thing, is you have to be your own advocate. You have to stick up for yourself when you're going and speaking to doctors. And, you have to make sure they really hear you out. And you know, if you're not comfortable with a doctor, then go to another one. You know, like try to.
I just don't want people to give up.
Don't give up. Yeah, it's and if you need it, you need it. It's okay.
Right.
You know, you don't have to necessarily be on it for the rest of your life. But if you do, that's also okay.
Right.
You know, so you know, science is, God created scientists, and scientists do some amazing things, right? So medicine's come a long way, and if you need it, it's okay to need it.
Right.
So I did that. I have a therapist that I, for a while I would talk to a couple times a month. Now it's, you know, once every few months, just a talk therapist that I go to. Like I said, I started writing, that helped. Journaling, meditation, fitness.
So journaling, yes.
Journaling's been huge. Yeah.
That's been a big thing for me, even since I was little when my friend passed away. And I started journaling, yeah, at 10 years old. And I have continued to keep a journal like my whole entire life.
Good for you, yeah.
I stopped for a little while. You know, there's periods of time where I don't think about it really. But, you know, then Kyle passed away. And then it's like, okay, I need to write everything down because sometimes... Yeah. You feel like you just are like, I don't know, for me, it was like word vomit. You know, I'm like, I have so much to say.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
And I just need to write it down. And then it's just like, okay, I got that out. Yeah. I feel so much better. And I don't know. I've always been a big advocate.
Then you can go back and look at it.
Yes.
Right? Like if I read my journals from 2018, I'm like, oh, I was going through it.
Yeah.
You know, and now you read.
I did that too.
Now I'm reading and I'm like, man, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
You know? Like, look how much I've improved. And it's just therapeutic, like you said, to get it out.
Yeah. It's like your own, like your little biography that you can go back and look at.
Exactly.
And like,
that's a perfect way to describe
it. Yeah. Your different states of mind, I guess, and just see how you've improved or what helped you in that time. You know, I don't know. I've gone back and read some of my journals too. I'm like, dang,
that was a tough
time.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's helped. Fitness, you know, working out 5 days a week, and you know, I'm not going to become a bodybuilder or anything, but just getting some sweat going.
Yeah.
And,
release. Yeah.
Yeah,
some
getting the heart
release,
rate up,
yeah.
You know, eating as healthy as I can. You know, every now and then splurge with some pizza
at
some McDonald's.
Of course.
But trying to stay as healthy physically as I can is a big help. For me, when this started, I didn't have any kids, and my wife and I were actually going through infertility at the time, which, you know, even more credit to my wife dealing with that at the same time as dealing with what I was going through. You know, she was just a rock star. But since, you know, in the time since, I now have a 3-year-old daughter, and then I have, she's almost three. And then I have twin girls who are almost 11 months. So I have three girls, and that's the best medicine.
Oh,
I mean, you know, I got my Ella socks on today,
my
good luck socks. So coming home to that is the best thing ever. I mean, it's the best medicine as you know, you know, you're a mom.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what kind of day I have, I come home and you hear those little feet coming down the hallway and you hear dad, right? And you get that big hug.
Oh, yeah.
And you get the big smiles from the twins. It'll change your whole day around.
Oh, yeah.
Like whatever you're dealing with is gone and now you're in dad mode. And so that's, for me, getting with my family, spending time with my friends, those have all been things that have really helped me. Kind of battle it. Those have been I wrote one article that described it as having arrows in your quiver, you know, having different things that you use to battle it, because I'm doing a lot better, but I still deal with it every day. I still have flare-ups of a bad day where I'm just feeling down, or I have a lot of anxiety going on. And sometimes it's for no reason that I can think of. So having these arrows in my quiver and these different things that I can do to battle it, has been huge. And then just, I still do my journey group. Some guys have come into the group who deal with anxiety and I'm able to talk to them about it. That helps me able to help
therapy.
Others.
Free therapy for us. Huh?
Doing things like this coming
right.
in, you know, that's why I reached out, because I've dealt with it and gotten better. And now it's my duty. I feel like God, has allowed me to get, I feel like he has allowed me to go through this so that I can in turn help other people.
Right.
You know, I do feel like sometimes God will allow you to go through trials so that you can turn around and help others and be a, you know, be kind of a shepherd to others. So if I can do that by doing stuff like this, then I'm going to do it. You know, I do speaking seminars where, you know, I did one at work. I did one at the firehouse a few weeks ago.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Where it's free, you know, you come, if you want to come hang out, and I'm going to talk about my story for 30, 45 minutes. And then, the most recent one I did at the Firehouse restaurant was awesome, because, you know, afterwards I spoke to a gentleman for 45 minutes to an hour after, and you know, it, the change in seeing, you know, I watched him come in and I can see it on him. You know, I could see this guy is struggling.
Yeah.
And then in my conversation with him, seeing the hope that he left with, that was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, so
that makes me emotional. Yeah.
That's what it's for. Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, I was allowed to go through this for a reason, I feel like. Yeah. And so I'm going to do whatever I can to continue helping people who might be going through something similar, not only for them, but also because helping people helps me.
Yeah. So. And I feel the same way, you know, that's my mission too.
That's why
too.
You're doing this. Yeah.
I never thought that, you know, having gone through this loss with Kyle and just all the things and looking back at all the things that led to this, honestly, I didn't think that I would have a podcast to go and talk about it. And honestly, like you said, just talking with people, kind of therapy, not only for myself, but for other people. And yeah, I can see how they come in and it's kind of like, oh yeah, like I'm ready to talk about it, you know, but it's kind of like after we talk, there's so much more smiles and just like, oh, like what a weight like lifted off my shoulders just to talk about it for for an hour, you know?
It's the feeling like that is the best therapy in my opinion. Like therapy in itself is great, but doing this, like I'm going to leave today and I'm going to be on a high for the rest of the day, for the rest of the weekend. Yeah. Like, and then hopefully when this airs, people reach out and I can help people one-on-one, you know? And so, you know, what you guys are doing here is just amazing.
Thank you.
I've watched a few of the episodes and it's awesome. And I love the connection with Kyle, you know, just because he was such a good friend for a long time and I'm going to miss him. So you know, for me, this is also kind of in his memory type thing too. So,
And I honestly, going back to just God giving you these, you know, these battles that you have to go through. And Kyle always talked about God and we never went to church a whole lot, but he grew up going to church and stuff. And I grew up Catholic, but he was always like, I'm taking you to a Christian church. You'll like it. Blah, blah, blah. You know, we went a couple times, but after he passed, that's when I really started actively going to church.
Yeah.
All
I think
the time.
We go to are you at New Life?
Yeah. So, I started going, I think it was the week after he passed, and I just continued to go every weekend.
That's awesome.
And then it brought my sister and my brother-in-law in. Yeah. Then it brought my parents in.
Yeah.
Then it brought my aunt and her boyfriend.
That's
and
so awesome.
It's just grown from there, you know. We just have continued to go to church, and I really fully believe that God has given me a little bit of a deeper purpose, even though there's obviously, I don't think that this was meant to happen, that Kyle was not meant to die and this wasn't supposed to happen. But with this happening, it's definitely brought me a deeper purpose.
Absolutely.
And I just, I thank him every day for it. And I don't want to get too emotional with that.
Isn't that crazy that you know, when you're in something, like you're just at the deepest depths of grief or depression or sadness or whatever it is that you're going through. And then when you come out of it and a few months later, you're thanking him for it. Right.
Yeah.
It's crazy. He can do amazing things. And, he has for me, and I know that he will for many others through this story. So
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Before we end, I want you to talk about, your company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your CEO of Mentors Moving, right?
That's right.
What's the full name?
Mentors Moving and Storage. You
there
got
you go.
It.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about what Mentors does.
Yeah. So we're a moving and storage company, move people from point A to point B all over town, all over the country, commercial moving. But the mission behind the name Mentors, we started out as Smooth Move, and then just kind of wanted to have more of a permanent footprint in the communities we service. We're in the Bay Area and then Phoenix area as well.
Oh, okay.
But we started here. And so we just wanted to have more of a permanent footprint. So we rebranded to Mentors a few years ago. And the reason behind that is foster youth. So our company mission is to help foster youth as they're aging out of the programs. And that'll come in many different ways, whether it's just, you know, financial charity type events where we donate. We take on furniture from customers, where they'll donate furniture during their moves.
Okay.
And then we will, for free, as these kids really, I mean, they're 18 years old, are transitioning from the foster program into their own apartment or home or whatever it may be, we'll go and donate that furniture for free and furnish their place.
That is so awesome.
That's the thing we do the most and what I've seen to be like the biggest help. But any kind of mentorship that we can provide, even if it's just coming in and talking with myself or our owner, Chris, about, you know, financial education, how to, you know, you don't necessarily learn how to balance a checkbook when you're going through school, especially if you're bouncing around in the foster system.
Right. So
any kind of mentorship that we can provide to these kids to get them ready for the, you know, for real life. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like we talked about earlier, there's the statistics that, you know, kind of go along with some of these kids that, you know, they're in these programs because they've had it pretty rough. You know, 80% of the kids who go through foster programs are going to deal with some kind of mental health issue in their life. 80%.
That is crazy.
So, I mean, anything that we can do, I mean, there's a very high percentage that end up incarcerated really young and then spend their adult lives in the system. So anything we can do to make those statistics a little better and help these kids as they're coming out of the program and getting ready to get into real life, we're going to do.
Yeah. I love that. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
That is so awesome. I feel like we haven't talked about a lot of like youth on the podcast much, you know, so that's such a great mission.
Yeah. There are some great organizations that we work with, here in town, you know, Bakersfield Angels, there's county departments that we work with, so Covenant Coffee is another company that does a similar thing with foster youth. It's being worked on. You know, we're trying to help the issue. Of course, there's still a long way to go, but we're working on it.
Well, hey, you're working on it. Yep. Yeah, that's what's important, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So speaking of stats, I have a couple stats as well, just as far as men's depression goes. Mm-hmm. So I saw online that 6 million U.S. men affected by depression per year, but men die by suicide 4 times more than women. That account for 79% of U.S. suicide deaths. That is awful.
Yeah.
That's terrible. And so that's, again, one of the reasons why we're coming on here to talk about it, because we want to drop that statistic.
Absolutely.
There, you know? Yeah. And then 1 in 10 men experience depression or anxiety, but less than half seek treatment for it.
Yeah.
So, again, that's why we're talking about this, because we just, we don't want anyone to feel alone, and it's better to talk with someone and get some help sooner than later.
Yeah.
But I guess, to end here, is there any advice that you would give anyone that's kind of struggling and going through this?
Yeah. I mean, I know I've read those statistics in the past, but I mean, every time you hear them, it's still kind of staggering, right? It's like shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Those are insane statistics. And I mean, I've dealt with, suicide in my own life. My best friend's, you know, father took his own life. So I've experienced this, and seen how it can impact, you know, and that's, you know, his dad was such an amazing man and, you know, almost a mentor in my life. So that's also a big reason why I'm so dedicated to, helping people when I can.
Yeah.
My advice would be obviously being open. That has been the number one thing for me. Like, tell your friends and family about what you're going through.
Right.
If you're married, don't just put it on your spouse.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tough thing for them to carry around, you know, tell other people about it. And you're going to have those thoughts saying that they're not going to be there for you, but I promise you, they are going to be there for you.
Yeah.
If they're a good friend or a family member and they love you, they will be there for you. And if they're not, then you know what, they probably shouldn't be in your life anyway,
right?
If they're not going to be there and support you on something like that, then hey, you know, you found out something about that person.
Right.
But I'm pretty confident that most of the people who love you are going to be there for you. Don't be ashamed to need medical help. If you need medication or you need to see a doctor or a therapist, please do. I'm work at Mentors Moving and Storage. My name's Keith Huff. I'm here for anybody who may need to reach out. You can call me directly.
That's what I was going to say too.
Yeah.
You know what? And if there's people that don't have like close family members or friends, like we are fortunate to have, reach out to us, reach out to the podcast,
please do.
You know, whatever.
Cause
that's why we're here.
Yep. Faith. I'm a faithful man. So for me, that's been huge, is getting closer with Jesus, walking with him on a daily basis. And, Yeah. I mean, those are the things for me. And then obviously all the little tools that we talked about, meditation, right. journalism, I mean, or journaling, things like
that. Yes. Yeah. Well, Keith, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thank you. Yeah.
And I hope that this message gets out because I think your story is a good one to hear.
Yeah. I'll see you at our next, Bible group get together with all the kids.
Yep. And at church too, you know?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you everyone for tuning in to another episode of Shattered Silence. As always, don't forget to follow us on our socials on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. You can watch full episodes on YouTube or you can listen in on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.